This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Dominate your fantasy baseball league with Fantasy Baseball Today, part of the CBS Sports Podcast Network. Join Scott White, Chris Towers, and me, Frank Stanfill, every weekday as we recap every player from every game. We'll get you the latest news, waiver wire ads and drops, trades to make, prospect promotions, and everything else you need to take down your league. Follow and listen to Fantasy Baseball Today on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
It's the Boomer and Geo podcast from WFAN.
Hi, Boomer and Geo on the Fan and CBS Sports Network, coming to you live for the Build Ford Tough studio. Another 20-point deficit, a 16-point lead for the Celtics midway through the fourth quarter, and the Knicks come back again and are up 2-0 on the Celtics in the second round series going back to the Garden. It's amazing what we have seen, contributions from everybody, Karl Anthony Towns and Mikal Bridges, who really hadn't endeared themselves to the fan base throughout the regular season, have done so in spurts in the playoffs. And Mikal Bridges in the fourth quarter, there's nothing better than a guy who steps up and gives you his best when the game is on the line late in the game. And we've gotten that from Jalen Brunson for a few years now, and we're getting it from Mikal Bridges in the postseason. This year,
you're getting in from a lot of different areas. And last night, Mitchell Robinson was plus 19. He had the highest plus minus of all the players. All the Knicks starters were minus, believe it or not. And, you know, OG Anunoby didn't have a great offensive game, but he may have made the defensive play of the night, you know, helping Mitchell Robinson on that final play on Jason Tatum. So this is a team. It's supposed to be a team game. And I know that you and we, as Knick fans, rely on certain players a little bit more than other players, and Jalen Brunson being number one on that list. But yesterday morning, we were talking about getting Karl Anthony Towns more involved, and he did keep them in the game in the first half. And he also, again, late in his game, it was like late in the game in game one where he got a key rebound. He got a putback and turned it into a three-point play, and that basically gave it, it was 86-85 Celtics at that point in time. And then Jalen Brunson went on his six-point run and got it to 91. And then, of course, Anunoby makes this great defensive play along with Mitchell Robinson at the end of the game on Jason Tatum.
Now, and Bridges, yeah.
Bridges gets credit because he actually steals the ball, blocks it from getting to Jalen Brown, but there wouldn't have been enough time for Jalen Brown to score anyway. But it's Anunoby who pushes him to that corner to force this, like, fadeaway pass that he tries. And, you know, that's the real sense of the team. Everybody has got some skin in the game somewhere along the line. And again, you know, the Boston bench outscored the New York bench, but I would sit here and I would tell you that Deuce McBride really had an impactful point in this game again.
Like, yeah, I mean,
two
games
where he's been impactful.
I mean, the Celtics bench is going to outscore the Knicks bench in every one of these games because they just play more players. And Pritchard was hitting some threes last night, so that's not a stat that's going to be indicative of much in this series. But you just need the contributions like Deuce McBride did when he came in, and he's been hitting some threes. He's been quick.
Mitchell Robinson on the defensive end.
Absolutely. Let's go to Anthony in Tinton Falls. What's going on, Anthony?
Hey, how are you guys? How you doing today?
Good, man. What's up?
Just a quick question. What are your thoughts on, I believe it was 2:50 left in the fourth, and they started fouling Mitch? What are your guys' thoughts on that, about the Knicks getting the bonus or potentially, you know, getting close to it and then bringing in OG?
Well, listen, this is what I was saying earlier this morning, and this is why sometimes it sounds redundant when we talk about things. This is where Tibbs played the game right. He, you know, they were going to foul Mitchell Robinson, try to get the Knicks into the bonus, and then he took them off the court, which was to me, that's the coach having a direct impact on a game, making decisions by, obviously, doing the right substitutions. I mean, he threw up an air ball last night.
Yeah, I mean, it was ugly. But Mazzulla said what he wanted to do was that. Like, he was fine with Mitch going off the court because Mitch was a plus 19, whatever
and
that, it was.
And that's what they were trying to do.
That's what they said, yeah.
They were trying to get him off the court because they knew that Tibbs was going to react the way that he did.
Yeah, I mean, which is, I don't know. I mean, they also wish that he had stayed out there so they could foul him and then put him on the line when they were in the bonus. I'm sure they wanted that, but Mazzulla said he knew what he was doing, and all their starters were minus players last night for the Knicks, and Mitchell Robinson was not. But yeah, Tibbs reacted to it perfectly, and the team, you know, it's about putting the guys in the right spots and about the guys executing, and they did.
And he had to get him off the court, and you know the way the thing worked out, and the timing, and who was getting fouled, and whether you could actually substitute as opposed to having guys stuck there not getting in, like in the Detroit series. This worked out for Tibbs.
Melissa in Nassau County. What's going on, Melissa?
Hey, guys. Big fan of the show.
Thanks, Melissa. What's up?
So I just wanted to call and ask your opinion on something. So my dad is a big Knicks, Mets, Islanders fan. And since the 90s, he refuses to watch anything but the fourth quarter. He says he chased the Knicks through the 90s, and he won't put them on until it's the fourth quarter.
Yeah, I mean, in basketball, that is something you can do. I mean, if you did that with the Thunder game last night, you would have shut it right off because they, in the fourth quarter, they were up by 30-something and ended up winning by 40-something. But yeah, I mean, it's one of those sports. Like in the NFL, the biggest play could happen in the first quarter. In Major League Baseball, the biggest play could happen in the first inning. In basketball, generally, the biggest play does not happen early on in the game. And when you have games as close as we've seen the Knicks play this year, you could have put it on in the fourth quarter and seen everything you needed to see.
Yeah, so maybe he was watching Fox News or something, then he turned it on to the fourth quarter, whatever. But for me, anyway, in these playoff games, you got to watch the whole game. And the reason you got to watch the whole game, you got to get the feel of the game. You got to understand what is happening and how the game is developing. And, you know, for the last two games, if you watch the Knicks and they get down 20, and there was a point in game one where you were saying that you were very close to turning the TV off.
Yeah, I was, yep.
But you didn't.
No.
And you lived through that entire game. If you had turned the game off, you wouldn't be able to have the payoff at the end of it.
That's right.
And the payoff is the great feeling you have that your team just came back and did something that you didn't expect. So that's why you watch the whole game. To me, I understand why people would say, "Hey, all you need to do is watch the last 5 minutes." But then you don't get the feel of the entire game.
Well, if you watched the fourth quarter last night, you got a feel because they were still down 16 at one point in that fourth quarter. But yeah, I mean, you turned the game off.
You wouldn't have seen Kat in the first half doing what he did, which is what you wanted him to do.
Yeah, listen, I don't.
You wouldn't have known that Mikal Bridges didn't score any points for the first three quarters in this game.
Right. For us, watching the whole game is imperative. For Melissa in Nassau County's dad, he can do whatever he wants.
Yes, you can. But I'm just saying the reason that I would watch the whole game is just to really get the true emotional roller coaster feeling of the game.
Gerald in Queens. What's going on, Gerald?
Yes. The Knicks, they got two games, but they can still be. They got to be careful still, because when every team that play in the Garden, the Knicks lose in the Garden.
Yeah, they have not been good at home in the playoffs this year, that is for sure. But I don't think anybody, at least we aren't, celebrating a series victory.
Yeah, nobody's celebrating. Everybody's just sitting there talking about, you know, giving credit to the players that deserve it.
Traditionally, the Knicks always lose in the Garden. The Garden is a bad place to play.
It's the Mecca of basketball, Gerald.
Yeah, it is, but the Knicks normally lose in the Garden.
But, Gerald, it's the Mecca of basketball, maybe for other teams, maybe not for the Knicks.
And you're talking about Madison Square Garden, not TD Bank Garden, right?
Yeah, I'm talking about Madison Square Garden.
That's the Mecca of basketball.
I understand. You know, I just want to make sure he's...
Mike played there. What happens in the Garden?
Yeah.
Like, you hear it. Y'all was talking about Charles Smith, Wayne, Scottie Pippen. Block them shots.
Why are we bringing that up? Why are you bringing that up now today, Gerald?
No, I'm just saying the Garden is. I think the Knicks is cursed, but they can beat Boston. They can beat Boston, but
the
Knicks
is
cursed.
The Knicks are cursed in the Garden, Gerald? Why are you bringing that up today?
The Knicks is cursed, period.
Why?
Because they ain't win in a long time.
So every team that hasn't won in a long time has a curse on them?
I mean, as far as the Knicks goes.
Gerald, let me ask you a question.
Okay.
Do you like this current Knicks team? Do you like the way that they play, the way that they go out there? Nobody takes a night off. Everybody's playing their ass off. Everybody's playing long minutes. I mean, like, come on. You gotta.
Yeah, they doing their thing, but they gotta get past Boston. They can't let up right now. They gotta play like them first two games and play the next two games that they can sweep Boston right now.
Okay. Well, I mean, you're the one telling me that they can't win in the Garden, and now you're saying they can sweep them.
But I'm saying, you know, since New York teams haven't won nothing in a long time. So,
we know all too well.
We actually do this for a living.
Yeah,
Gerald,
yeah,
so we know
we've seen a lot.
I know. I stopped liking the Knicks since they traded Mark Jackson.
Well, now you can start liking them again.
They should never trade Mark Jackson.
Gerald, you're telling me you're not enjoying this run because the Knicks traded Mark Jackson?
I like the run. I went to Bishop Lockman.
Okay.
I went to Bishop Lockman, and I played basketball too. But they, you know, hopefully the Knicks can do something, the Yankees do something, the Mets will do something, you know.
Yeah. They ain't done nothing.
Yeah.
But the Knicks got to play some more D. They got to play defense, and they stop Tatum and other dark-skinned dude.
Yeah. Gerald, you sound like a guy who hangs out at a coffee shop with his buddies. Is that true?
Oh, I've been... Yeah, I had a little sip today, but anyway, but the Knicks got to play some D.
Doesn't he sound like a thanks, Gerald? Doesn't he sound like a guy that sits around, talks with his buddies, like, hey, sit down and be like, hey, you know, the Knicks are cursed. They didn't win at the Garden. They didn't do anything. They suck. They traded Mark Jackson.
You remember what I told you, like 6:10 this morning, which was 2 hours ago, that last night's game and the game before that reminded me of the 90s Knicks, the 93-94 team.
Mm-hmm.
They played 25 playoff games that year. They swept the Nets, and then they had three straight seven-game series.
Mm-hmm.
And how many times did the Knicks score over 100 points?
Three.
Or how many times did the other team score over 100 points?
Three.
Right, out of 25 playoff games.
Yeah.
So the Knicks, Gerald, are playing defense. Now, the Celtics are helping because they're not hitting all their shots.
Yeah. Games look a hell of a lot different.
They do, but I think that physical series against Detroit may have been the perfect thing for the Knicks.
Let's go to Randy in the Bronx. What's up, Randy?
How you guys doing? First time caller, long time listener.
Well, thanks, Randy.
In regards to the last caller,
yes.
Can he just be happy that the Knicks are up 2-0, coming home with confidence, and at least let's just be happy that the Knicks are up? Even myself, I was going in there, I was happy being up 1-0, at least taking a steal of a win. Saturday is going to be rocking. I have a funny feeling, Knicks in 5. What are your thoughts?
Hey, I mean, at this point, anything is possible, being up 2-0. Of course, the Garden's going to be amazing. I think what this has done is there's, as we talk about fan activation and how it happens, right? There are lots of fan activated people that are come out of the woodwork that are so happy that the Knicks are playing well and they remember the 90s and they kind of went away when the Knicks were terrible and are back and they're loving it.
Yeah.
And then there's others like, was it Gerald?
Yeah, Gerald.
Something like Gerald who's like, hadn't thought about the Knicks in years. He's pissed off they traded Mark Jackson. Now the Knicks are on the tip of everybody's tongue. And the Knicks are the conversation with his friends. And the Knicks are the conversation here. And he's like, screw them.
And Mark Jackson was a great point guard for the Knicks, but he wasn't Walt Frazier.
Right.
We finally got the point guard that is right there with Walt. And if he continues to go on to have a career and ultimately get a championship here, that would be Jalen Brunson, and everybody should be happy with that.
Yeah.
Everybody should be looking at that guy with total respect.
I just think that when a team like this that hasn't been good in a long time, we're seeing a resurgence over the last couple of years. You get everybody coming out of the woodwork, positive, negative.
Well, so, you know, it was like the run for the Giants in 2007, because that year everybody wanted Eli and Tom Coughlin out of here, right in the middle of that year. Get rid of him, and that was the first year that Craig and I started. And I remember as they were going into the playoffs, you know, I told Craig that they were going to win on the road, and that's why he had to do the Speedo across the Brooklyn Bridge.
Like Paul Pierce in his robe.
Right, exactly. So all of a sudden it was like, man, they went all the way to the freaking Super Bowl and they beat the mighty Patriots. Which was, nobody thought that could happen. Nobody. Especially in the middle of that season when everybody was dumping on Coughlin and Eli Manning.
Well, now Knicks fans are believing.
And guess who they were dumping on? They were dumping on Carl Anthony Towns.
Well,
he's
yeah.
soft. They were dumping on Mikal Bridges. He can't shoot. They were dumping on this guy. That guy, I mean, like, and now here we are. They're up 2-0 against the defending world champions. It's amazing.
It is amazing. So, Gerald, take a step back. Forget about Mark Jackson.
And enjoy the run, man. Enjoy the run. One
Jump
possession,
right in.
One quarter, one half, one game.
Start,
keep it simple.
Start bing-bonging, Gerald.
Yes.
Embrace it. Jason's calling from Long Island. What's going on, Jason?
Hey, how you guys doing? Long-time listener, first-time caller.
Oh, what's up, Jason? What do we got?
All right, I got some theories on Mitchell Robinson. I love the fact that this guy is playing great defense. He's doing put-back dunks. They got to do something about the foul shooting. Wilt Chamberlain shot underhand for one season. It increased his foul percentage 11 points. I think Mitchell should think about it. Get a company to sponsor it. Let's go.
Company.
If he doesn't want to do that...
What company would sponsor his terrible free throws?
Oh, my God. I feel bad for him,
Granny
actually.
Granny Smith Apples.
Oh,
you got any company with low prices, you know, he's got the ball down low. I don't know, something.
I don't think you need a sponsor.
That's pretty funny, but, you know, he's not going to change anything right now. This would be something that he would have to work on in the offseason. It's too late. It's... They're all in right now. Everybody knows. And I feel bad for him because that air ball last night, that was rough on. You could just see his body language was just awful.
Thank God they won the game because people would be talking about that this morning a hell of a lot more. Yeah, it's embarrassing for him. And as far as, like, changing it in the offseason, whatever, he can't get any worse. So, like, if you want to try something new, then try something new. You can't be worse than he is. It's impossible.
Remember we were talking yesterday about, you know, trying to throw him some passes. I mean, look. He's not a great receiver of the ball either. Mm. So, you know, up above the rim, he can go up and he can dunk it. So it's, you know, it's an alley-oop, which he's very good at. He's good at putbacks, like the last caller said. But you got to be understanding that if you're his teammate, what he's capable of and what he is incapable of. You know, what's above his pay grade. You know, and usually pick and rolls, bounce passes, things like that, he's not very good at. He's a little awkward at it. But if you put it above the rim, you know, he'll go and get it. And he'll go make plays with it. So just got to put him in the right spot, which the last couple games, you know, he's had some interesting offensive possessions. But defensively, he's exactly what he needs to be. And he needs to be playing more minutes. And that's what's happening here.
It's the Boomer and Geo podcast from WFAN.
Boomer and Geo on the Fan and CBS Sports Network. A beautiful day out there today. A feel-good Thursday because the Knicks win again. Jerry Recco is here with all the details and sounds from last night. What is up, Jerry?
Well, we are presented by Fanatic Sportsbooks, and we are also brought to you by Town Fair Tire. Nobody beats Town Fair Tire. Nobody. So what is going on with your Knicks? They are up 2-0.
Brunson will make a move. The shooter bogs to the rack, and he got it to go. Run by New York.
This is unbelievable.
For a second consecutive game on the floor of the defending champs.
It was happening again.
Bing bong! Bing bong!
Yeah, bing bong in your face off. He'll be on fire today, I'm sure, Adam Schein. That was Kevin Harlan and Reggie Miller on TNT as the Knicks had that 21-2 run. They were trailing 84-68 with 8:04 to go in the fourth quarter. And then Boston didn't make a shot until the dunk by Jason Tatum. It was clank after clank, and the Knicks win, and they're up 2-0. And so now you get to some of the reaction, like one Shaquille O'Neal on TNT with lots of love for New York.
You know, my favorite part of that whole thing is looking at the clips, and you see Celtics shooting threes, and you see Knicks playing old school basketball, taking a high percentage shot, drawing and kicking, going to the hole.
The Knicks look like a well-coached team, and Boston looked like a team that was just out there. I don't know what they were doing. Here's Evan Roberts. He usually does a Rico Bronya Mets podcast, but he wasn't talking Mets. He had to start it this way.
A small part of me dies every time something good happens for the New York Knicks.
So he's had a couple of deaths the last couple of nights. Now he's going to have to be staring at one Tommy Lugauer today for 4 hours.
Yeah.
Tommy on social media reacted to the game.
The narrative, you know it already, after this game is, what's going on with the Celtics? What's wrong with the Celtics? I'll tell you what's wrong with the Celtics. They're playing the effing Knicks!
That's a generational talent right there, man. That's an up-and-comer, man. That is confidence.
Yeah, that is confidence, all right. And you even had NBC Sports in Boston. I don't. So this would be the equivalent of SNY. You know when, like, Nikki Lauderullo is there, like, on the court? Maybe John Jastrzemski is sitting with her, and they're kind of reacting to. This would be the equivalent. I don't know who they are, but very good at what they do. They were praising the Knicks post-game up in Boston.
They're competitive. They're tough. Mikal Bridges had 0 points in the first half, and all of a sudden he gets hot the second half. Jalen Brunson didn't have his best of games. But
let's say this. They're cockroaches. No matter what the Celtics do to put them in a compromised position, they do not just sit there and take it.
That's a hell of a compliment.
They're cockroaches.
Yes.
Cockroaches.
Like, they don't die.
You could step on them.
How great is that?
You could give them poison.
You ever been called a cockroach?
No, I haven't. But then again, I am working. I mean, there are a lot of cockroaches associated with this radio station.
We had one big one, actual cockroach, in the bathroom.
Yes.
That thing was huge.
Ginormous.
Yeah, that thing had a beard.
Didn't we give it a name? Carl the Cockroach or something?
It was so big and gross, man. It had the big antennas.
I know.
I'll never forget that cockroach.
I'm aware.
I mean, that cockroach.
Didn't Yusef take care of that?
I don't know. I think that cockroach is on the New York City Council right now.
But wouldn't you agree that that is, in this case, that's a compliment?
Yeah.
No, it is.
I mean, I don't think you want to be called a cockroach.
Not going away. It's the...
I mean, it really is.
They're grinders.
That won't go away.
Yeah.
So I thought it was a pretty good analogy. Cockroaches. Here was Jalen Brunson, how he gets locked in late in these games.
It's a focus that I need to have at that moment. You can't really worry about what happened previously in the game. It's all about just focusing, having a clear mind, just trying to win the game. That's just my mindset. And I wouldn't be that way without my teammates.
Well, he didn't have his best of games and had the two clutch free throws late. Here was Josh Hart. He seemed a little distracted by the fire alarm in the background, but would get through it.
This is about continuing to get better. No one else is worried about that. And figuring out a way to put together a full 48-minute game.
And so the Knicks have been down but not out, and now they have a 2-0 series lead. Joe Mazzulla up in Boston, I guess he was asked about this a couple of different ways, but he was asked about not calling that timeout with 12 seconds to go and kind of letting his team play.
I had one left, got a good look on the exact same play 20 seconds earlier, tried to execute the exact same thing. They did a better job of their lower pickup point, and we weren't able to get the advantage that we had on the last Tatum dunk. So good full court setting. They subbed out Towns, weren't able to sub out Brunson, had action there, and we just didn't execute.
And then we talked about Kristaps Porzingis. He didn't start, came into the game. Not much of an impact. Here was Porzingis.
I'm dealing with some, I don't know how to call it, but I'm just not feeling my best. I'm not feeling my best at all. But, you know, it kills me inside that it's happening in this moment.
Yeah, well, he's got an opportunity if he can come back and be a little bit better in Game 3 at the Garden on Saturday, 3:30 start. Boy, a Knicks win, they go up three games to none. So we will see if who would have ever thunk that.
I wouldn't have thought this. I wouldn't have thought two games to none. So.
Well, that too. That is true, too. In the other game last night, the Thunder evened things up with the Nuggets as we finally got a home team that won a game. 149-106. Shai Gilgeous-Alexander had 34. All good on OKC side. For Denver, this was Nikola Jokic.
Basically, it was one team playing tonight. Even the turnovers, misses, they were aggressive, they were going by us, they were rebounding the ball, they were just better, they were much, much better than us today, and that's why the score is so bad.
Mm-hmm. And their head coach is David Adelman.
We got punked, and we didn't play well enough, and they came out with the right intensity, and we didn't. I thought we let some open shots early in the game affect us how we played defensively.
And so that's a 1-1 series now going to Denver for Game 3. Tonight you got Game 2, Warriors and T-Wolves. Golden State, the 1-0 series lead there. All right, we get to the baseball. We'll start with last night since the Mets played during the day. Yankees, Padres, and so this was, you had Dylan Cease throwing a no-hitter in this game until Cody Bellinger hit a home run in the seventh inning, and then you would push this thing into the 10th. Devin Williams on. The game is tied at 3. You got the ghost runner at second. Had a couple of strikeouts, a walk and a hit batter. So bases loaded, two out, trying to get out of it. And we know how things have gone for him lately.
And here we go. Williams is set. The 3-2 to Bogaerts. Runners take off. The pitch. Swing and a miss. He struck him out. Williams hops off the mound and a big ovation here at the stadium. What a moment for Devin Williams.
And he needed it because he was basically booed off the mound a couple of nights ago.
Yeah, we got three strikeouts here, and I'll tell you what, that ball was moving.
It was moving.
I'm just watching the highlights. I didn't see the game. But, you know, when you see his pitches moving that way.
He got a lot of swings and misses.
Right. That's the Devin Williams that they were signing.
What do you think his swing and miss rate was?
Whiff rate, punchies, whiffies.
Whiffies.
That ball is just dropping out of the, I mean, it's dropping into the strike zone.
Yeah.
And the ones that are just at the strike zone level, at the lower level, are just dropping out of it. So the batters don't know what to do.
J.C. Escar with the game-winning sac fly and RBI in the 10th. Here was Bellinger with Susan. Solid. By the way, Trent Grisham tied the game. I should make note of that. Big pinch hit home run to tie the game. Here was Bellinger with Susan.
That was a great one. I mean, all around. You know, Dylan Cease was nasty tonight, and, you know, just we kept going, kept talking to the dugout, kept fighting, and, I mean, a lot of big moments there. Grish, Devin, JC, I mean, you name it. That's just a good team win.
How about that swing by Bellinger? That thing is letter high, and he puts it into right field for the home run. Here was Grisham, felt really good for Devin Williams in the spot.
Exciting. That was a lot of fun to watch. Just come out here and a lot of pent-up energy to come out here and just compete and getting the job done was a lot of fun to celebrate with
him. That was on the YES Network. And then finally, Max Fried. We talk about Cease with the near no-hitter, at least into the seventh inning. Fried, a no decision, 7 innings, 5 hit ball, 1 run, 8 strikeouts. He said he had to go out there and match what he was seeing on the other side.
When he's going out there throwing the way he is and throwing a no-hitter for most of the game, you just got to try to match him. So just whatever I could do, you know, just to keep him off the board.
By the way, how about that signing by Brian Cashman? What would they be doing without him?
They'd be struggling. He is 6-0, and he's right now, I mean, he's got to be the best pitcher in baseball.
It's ridiculous ERA, how good he is.
And 6-0, and we're only a week into May, which is pretty damn good. And no
decision
last night.
Nobody cares about wins and losses anymore, Jerry. It's all about ERA.
I do agree with that. But in this case, when you've got an ERA of 1 and you're 6-0, I think it does matter. As for the Mets, they were in Arizona winning the series finale.
Swung on, hit to the gap in right center field. It is down a base hit. Acuna hits third. He's on his way to the plate. It's rolling all the way to the wall. McNeil the second. He's not stopping there. On his way to third. Relay to third base. Not in time. Jeff McNeil with an RBI triple. And the Mets lead the Diamondbacks 3-0 in the seventh
and
inning.
And so it wasn't just Juan Soto. That was Pat McCarthy on Mets Odyssey Radio. Yes, Soto snapped a scoreless game with a home run in the sixth and homered again in the eighth. But it was McNeil, the RBI triple, a two-run double from Francisco Lindor, and Luis Angel Acuna with an RBI single. Mets win 7-1. That having been said, Soto has been swinging a hot bat of late. The two home runs yesterday. Here was his manager, Carlos Mendoza.
Good to see him going dead center. And then the left on left, that was pretty impressive. I didn't think that ball was going to go. He knew right away with his reaction. And that ball just kept on going. So pretty impressive.
Very impressive for sure. Kodai Senga threw a lot of pitches, but did get through 6 for the win. This was through a translator.
Yeah, those first 3 innings were rough. I didn't have anything. And, you know, out of experience, I know that when certain things are not going certain ways, I have, you know, quick fixes for that. And I was able to find that to, you know, get me through the game.
And so the Mets move back to 10 games over 500, now 24-14 on the season as they take 2 out of 3. They have a day off like the Yankees do. They will be in Chicago tomorrow. The Yankees tomorrow night will be in Sacramento to take on the Oakland A's. And from the NHL playoffs, 2 more games last night and another close one. So you had the Panthers tie up the Maple Leafs at 3. And before you could kind of settle in to see what the next shift would be, this happened.
The Leafs have got to get some offense going here as the shot went wide of the Florida net. Shot then by... They score! Holy mackerel! A she-guy bullet from Mitch Marner! Off the fireboard!
So he was very.
I've seen his nipples, Mitch Marner.
Yes, you
is
have.
That true? Yeah, yes. I'm sure all of us have. I mean, yes. If you stayed at the wedding long enough, you also. Oh,
but he's actually grown up to a nice young man now. That was he was a kid back then.
Either way, I got. I'm just.
You know, that was 2019.
Does it sound like I'm criticizing him? I'm just saying I saw his nipples. That's all. It made me feel good. He had the game winner, and I saw his nipples. Yeah, I've been that intimate with him.
Yeah, but he was like. Think about that. That was 6 years ago.
Yeah.
Wow.
6 years ago.
6 years ago. And that was some shot because he took it off the boards and they roofed it to the right top corner of the net.
And so the Maple Leafs win 4-3. They're up 2-0. Stars beat the Jets 3-2. They're up 1-0. And then did you see, I probably should have done this with the basketball, but did you see the or listen to the AI version of the NBA on NBC with Jim Fagan's voice? Have you seen this?
No.
So I guess he's passed away.
Yeah, they brought it back. Yes.
So here's how it sounds.
The NBA on NBC is back. See you this October for the NBA season tip-off.
What do you think? Cool or creepy?
I think for everybody that does voiceovers, they're probably pissed off. We're gonna.
Well, I agree with that, too. Remember we had, didn't they do the thing with the Olympics? Wasn't there a thing with the Olympics with Al Michaels' voice?
I don't know.
Anybody remember
or
this?
Jim McKay, maybe, or something?
No, it was...
Al Michaels is still living.
I know that. I'll look that up. I agree with you. It's a problem for voiceover people. Yeah. But I was looking at it from the angle of if you're his family, is that kind of cool, or are you creeped out by it?
I wonder if they went to the family and asked them.
Phil Simms said it was okay.
Yeah.
What did his wife say? That's the bigger question.
The AI Al Michaels was that AI Al Michaels would give you a personalized daily recap.
From the Olympics.
Hey, Jerry Rago.
That's what it was. But it was the Olympics, yes?
It was, yes.
Okay. So I'm not losing my mind.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's when it's a voiceover person. I mean, from the family standpoint, I can't answer that. When it's a voiceover person that I don't know what he looks like, I just know the voice, it's not so creepy. But if it were... I don't know, like John Madden doing football or something. Yeah. That would be a little creepy,
right? If you had Summerall, how about this one? Summerall and Madden opening up like a scene setter,
like a Super Bowl.
Sure,
yeah.
That would be kind of cool.
Maybe Fox brings that back.
I think it's kind of neat. Or CBS. CBS could bring it back too. They worked for them.
True.
Back in the day, I don't know. Just kind of neat.
I don't know. What do you think?
I think that these jobs should go to humans.
Well, I agree with that.
That's what I think.
I wasn't, again, different angle.
Especially
but you're right.
When you're working in a voice medium.
Oh, I know.
You want to make sure that the people get paid. Stay in nice hotels. By the way, what hotel did the Compass put you up in last night?
Well, I selected it. So I had Courtyard by Marriott right up the block. It was fantastic.
Oh, you had towels and
everything? Yeah, it was beautiful. It was actually very nice. 16th floor overlooked Varick Street. It was very nice. Elevators worked.
Yeah.
I had towels.
Yeah.
Nice bed. TV was fantastic.
Yeah. No, I'm glad you had
I would a nice go back night. There 100 times over. It was okay. Really good.
No.
Sorry that you. So I was looking into you showed me the app.
Yeah.
And this is before I said, screw it. I just want to be close. I don't want to have to figure out how to get to work on time. So I did look and I found one place that was, I told Alice, I think it was a deal for $235.
Mm-hmm.
And then when I looked at the room, it was called a bunk room.
Oh, I saw that one, too.
Did you see that?
I saw the bunk room, yeah.
The sink was right next to the bed.
Yeah, I've stayed in something similar to that.
Where's the toilet?
Yeah. I mean, in the bed, I think.
Let me ask you a question. I mean, you got the Arlo right here, and you got the Hugo right here. They're literally two blocks away from
So, there. A couple things. Number one, I chose the room on my own.
Okay.
And the two that you just mentioned, the Arlo was sold out.
Oh.
Completely sold out,
okay.
And the Hugo was $865 for one night. And let's be honest, it's like 6 hours.
Yes,
I was not spending $860. There's no way.
You and Joe should have shared a room and got double beds.
That's what Chernoff is. He's listening right now, saying they just share the same room
or a bed. Quite frankly,
stay in the same bed. Who cares?
Yeah. Well, we didn't do that. So what can I tell you?
I would have preferred to actually after my experience.
I get it. And I tell you another thing too: the bathroom and the shower, gorgeous.
There you go.
Completely redone. Yeah, you blew it.
Yeah, no, definitely.
You did.
Yeah. I mean, what are you disgusting pig? What are you supposed to do, though? Because you see, like, the... the price, and then you look online at the pictures, and then they do the bait and switch when you show up there. What was, you know?
So the picture didn't resemble it at all?
No, I think it was a completely different place that they put up there.
Oh, you're an animal. Oh, my God. Wash your hands.
That's AI Mark Chernoff.
Yeah. Yes.
Well, you are here. You're safe, and you're kind of well-rested.
Safe, I think. I mean, I may have some version of hepatitis this morning.
Okay.
Fungus on my feet from the shower.
Alex just suggested me to go to that budget motel outside the tunnel.
Oh,
yes.
Like, I'm not doing that again. Oh. I had to sleep with my clothes on the one time I went there. I wasn't doing that again.
More horrible. I did.
I don't blame you.
I did.
I get it.
All right, Jerry, you're done.
I mean, sure.
Okay.
It's the Boomer and Geo podcast from WFAN.
Boomer and Geo on the Fan and CBS Sports Network. Knicks with another amazing comeback. The Celtics with another epic collapse. And game three will be Saturday, 3:30 at the Garden, up 2-0. Got to get the job done now. Everything has changed. I'm curious to see the series odds for it now and how, because the Knicks obviously have to be a favorite to win the series now, and how much that has changed from a couple days before the series when the Celtics were minus 1,000 to win the series, and you had the Knicks at plus 880 to win the series. So here we go. The Knicks now, wow, they're just a small favorite. That's crazy. They're just a slight favorite. So the Knicks are minus 110, and the Celtics are minus 106. See, the Celtics aren't even plus to win the series at this point. That just shows you people still not believing. This is what we needed.
This is the thing. I mean, this is the New York kind of sports thing. We never really truly ever have the so-called favorites. At least we haven't had in the last 25 years. We're always an underdog. Well, yeah. I mean, the Yankees, okay, but we're always the underdogs. The Giants were the underdogs. The Mets are the underdogs. The Knicks are the underdogs.
I mean, that's crazy.
You know, we don't have the Hall of Fame players. Maybe we will someday. Maybe Jalen Brunson will turn into that. But what I'm saying to you is that this does not surprise me. It's like the Rangers win the President's Trophy, and they can't win the Stanley Cup. Why? Because they don't have Messier leading them. That's why.
Well, we got a kind of a Messier on this Knicks team, don't we?
Not a mercenary. Messier was the mercenary.
Yeah, I mean, he was later in his career and came in. I mean,
he had established that he was one of the great players of his era.
True. I should say the similarities are there is a clear-cut leader who you can count on.
Yes.
And has championship qualities. Are the similarities.
From college.
From college, yes.
Not from, you know, like Mess had, you know, all those cups in Edmonton, so...
Let's go to John, who's in New Jersey. What's going on, John?
Hey, what's going on, guys?
What up, man?
What's up, New York? Let's go, New York Knicks. We dope down Chowder, and they're coming back. Boomer, you brought it up. You said fan activation. I am one of those fans who was subtle, right? Like, just we're going to get by Detroit regardless. I didn't care how tough the games were. We always had faith or knew that we were going to get by Detroit. But there was something missing in this team all season that left all of us, or not all of us, but most of us saying, hey, you know what? We get by Detroit. We get to Boston. Let's just not get embarrassed, move on, and see what we could do for next year. That was a predetermined notion amongst a bunch of Knicks fans that I know as well. Diehard Knicks fans grew up in the 90s, watched it all, but this team over the last two games came alive, made us alive, and now it's about to go down. Let's go, New York. We go up three. Send them back to Boston, baby!
Well, we don't want to go back to Boston ourselves. Yeah. Like to send them back to Boston for the rest of the offseason. And yeah, I mean, there's nothing wrong with having questions about this team throughout the regular season because, you know, one thing about New York sports fans, you could say that we're negative, you could say that we're down on our teams or don't have the favorites or whatever it is that's in our DNA, but we're some of the most knowledgeable fans in the country. And what we saw was a team that couldn't get the job done against the best teams in the league in the regular season. Now, we know that the playoffs are different. No, generally in the NBA, the teams that are kicking everybody's ass in the regular season kick everybody's ass in the postseason too.
Yes,
and this has been totally different. And they were getting their ass kicked in two games, by the way, and came back and won due to some futility that we have never seen in the history of the NBA from the 3-point line, and great defense and clutch shooting. So it's going to be a. I didn't think that you could recreate game one into game two. I can't even imagine what these rest of these games are going to be like, but it would be nice to not be down by 20 in game three. That would be nice.
Yeah, these are moments why you want to be a fan. You know, for 25 years, this team stunk, and they couldn't get it right. They hired the wrong people, had the wrong players, and now they finally hired the right coach. They got the right president. You know, notice how, by the way.
Yeah.
Notice how since Leon Rose has taken over, and I think the Jets are trying to take a page out of the Knicks book in this case, in this regard. Like, do you ever see Steve Mills anymore? Whatever happened to Steve Stout rebranding the Knicks?
Well, yeah, I mean, Mills was let go a long time ago.
No, but I'm talking about the GM
Perry. Well, he was let go too.
So who the hell's running the team?
Leon Rose.
Yeah, but I'm like, you don't hear anything from anybody.
Yeah,
like before Leon Rose took over.
Yeah.
This thing was...
It was a disaster.
Exactly. And anybody who ever gave a press conference, it was like...
Like, you got a little bit of good stuff with Donnie Walsh, and then that was the end of that. And then around that, you know, obviously since Van Gundy, was a mess.
Right, right. So I guess what I'm trying to say is yesterday I was talking a little bit about this on the golf course with Johnny Mack, and I said, you remember Steve Stout? He's like, huh, who's Steve Stout? You remember what?
I don't even know if he's still employed. I know he got wrapped up in some of that Diddy stuff, too. And, I mean, he was the brand ambassador. He said he wanted to be the Drake for the Knicks that he is for the Raptors. And then, like, he posted a picture after that interview with Stephen A. Smith where he said that when he was on a golf course wearing Chicago Bulls shirts.
And you never heard from him again.
No. He was done. Gone.
But the point being is that I think the Knicks and the Jets are trying to do the same thing. Like, stay out of the media for the wrong reasons. Don't try to explain what you're doing. Just do what you do.
Yeah.
And then let the results speak for themselves.
The right people here. Get the right players
here.
Get
the right type of players so that, you know, when they, and obviously Jalen's dad's on the, you know, the coaching staff, so he knows his own son, of course, and knows that his son has championship DNA. And you got to be thinking, like, what are the Mavericks thinking?
Yeah, I don't know, man. They're with the way Jalen Brunson is playing. I mean, they wanted him back, but the Knicks, you know, pursued him. They actually got dinged for the tampering stuff. I don't even care. This guy's going down in history right now with the way he's playing. Kyle in Flushing. What's up, Kyle?
Hey, what's up, guys? Good morning.
Good morning.
Before I get to my question, I was just wanted to say I love you guys. Love the show. You make my New York City commute to work really enjoyable, but I just feel like these ads have been out of control. Like, I just sitting here listening to the engagement experts. I mean, the traffic, the weather, we all have phones. What's going on with this? And I know you guys got to pee, but.
Well, we are.
It's not even that. I mean, the company has to make some money.
Kyle, you understand, you know, that we're a free service. And in order to do that, we have to be advertised-based to deliver this to you for free. I mean, if there was a subscription model we could roll out there that you'd pay for us to do, just get rid of the ad.
If I could just tell you that I was taking creatine gummies and then call it a day and then just keep going, I would, but we can't do that.
Yeah.
All right, I got you. Let me know who to talk to about the subscription, and then we'll figure something out.
It's Big Hurls.
Yeah, Big Hurls
at
the
Hot
Architect.
Mail.
The Architect.
Yeah. What else?
So I'm a Knicks fan. My wife is actually from St. Louis, so we're coming off a fresh scar, open wound, heart ripped out of our chest victory. So I got my defenses up. What's the confidence level right now? These don't seem like sustainable victories here. Like I love the 2-0, don't get me wrong, but you're just reading off the betting odds. Like, I don't know, that makes sense. Like these wins are not, the way they're playing right now is not sustainable basketball.
Yeah, I mean, it's not, but that doesn't mean that the rest of the games are going to be like that. I mean, the fact of the matter is if they win one of these two games at home, they're one win away from going to the conference finals. That's the way you got to look at it. And I don't see how this team, the way they've played so far in the playoffs, is going to lose three straight. So that is the goal at this point. I don't care how you get it done. I don't care if you're up 20 and have to hold on. You're down 20, have to come back again. Find a way to win one of these two games at home because you don't want to go back to Boston tied. And then you're one win away. So, but yeah, you're right. It's not sustainable. It's weird that it happened twice in a row. I mean, you had one of the guys last night. I guess it was actually Ernie Johnson.